All right, so are you ready to dive deep into slavery and the Roman Empire? Because I know I am. We've got some awesome sources this time around.
Oh, yeah, this should be good.
We've got Dr. Yarbrough's lectures on the pastoral epistles.
Classic.
And then we've also got this great article that really looks at the gospel stance on slavery.
Nice.
And I think it's going to give us a fresh perspective on this complex topic. One really fascinating thing that I found out was that some people actually chose to become slaves.
What?
I know, in Roman society. Crazy, huh? So hold on to that thought. We'll get to that a little bit later.
All right, I'm hooked.
Okay, good.
I think it's natural to feel a little sense of discomfort when you encounter the topic of slavery in the Bible,
Yeah.
especially given, its history in our own country.
Absolutely.
But it's really, really vital to understand that the Roman system of slavery was completely different from what we see in the American South.
Okay, so we're not just talking about like a more civilized version of the same thing.
Not at all, not even close. Dr. Yarbrough makes it clear that Roman slavery was not based on race.
Okay.
It was an economic and social system integrated into every level of Roman society.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Imagine like a world with no social safety nets.
Yeah.
For some people,
Right.
selling oneself into servitude could provide a sort of like stability.
Wow. That's not a perspective I'd considered before.
Yeah.
But how widespread was this, though? Did most slaves end up in those brutal conditions that we typically think of when we think of slavery?
Actually, a lot of slaves in the Roman Empire were emancipated after a certain amount of time.
Really?
Yeah. The scholar G.K. Beale,
Okay.
who Dr. Yarbrough cites,
Right.
points out some astonishing facts.
Okay.
Some Roman slaves could own property.
Whoa.
They could receive an education
Not
and
very.
even hold positions of authority.
Seriously.
I know this paints such a drastically different picture from the one we're kind of used to.
Yeah, this is completely changing how I view this whole concept of slavery in that time period.
I know, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, so it sounds like they had a lot more agency
Right.
and potential for social mobility than we might assume.
Totally.
Okay, so then how does all of this affect our understanding of Paul's letters to Timothy?
Oh, that's a great question.
Especially like when he's giving instructions about slaves and masters.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
It's crucial to remember that Paul was writing pastoral letters,
Okay.
not like systematic theological treatises or anything.
Right.
He was addressing real-life situations
Yeah.
within the early church.
Of course.
So when he's discussing slavery,
Right.
he's not endorsing the institution itself.
Right.
He's offering guidance
Within the context of.
within the context of a reality that he couldn't immediately change.
Okay, so rather than just like condemning the entire system outright, he's trying to improve the lives of those within it.
Exactly. Think about how Jesus addressed divorce. He acknowledged that the world was broken,
Yeah.
and he offered guidance within that context while also upholding God's ideal for marriage.
I see, yeah.
Similarly, Paul's working within that existing social structure to kind of like guide believers towards a
Okay.
more Christ-like way of living,
Yeah.
even within, the confines of slavery.
That makes a lot of sense. But our sources also mention these false teachers
Oh, yeah.
that were causing trouble in the early
Yeah,
church.
they're always up to something.
So who were these guys? And like, what were they doing?
These false teachers were individuals within the church,
Okay.
often wealthy,
All right.
and
Yeah.
they seem to be exploiting their influence, possibly like distorting the gospel for personal gain.
Right, yeah.
Dr. Yarbrough highlights how the presence of wealth within the church was kind of a double-edged sword.
Okay, I see that.
Wealthy individuals could support the church's mission,
Right.
but their wealth could also lead to issues like trying to control the church
Oh, yeah.
or using their position for personal advantage.
So we're talking about a situation where wealth and power within the church could lead to corruption and manipulation.
Exactly right.
Okay, that definitely adds another layer of complexity
Yeah, Beth.
to Paul's letters. So then Paul's warnings to Timothy become even more relevant when we consider this dynamic.
Totally.
Yeah.
He's not simply cautioning against material wealth, he's warning about those who twist faith
Yeah.
into a means for financial gain.
Oh,
This
well.
tension between wealth and faith is something that we still see even today.
It really makes you think about what constitutes true wealth. you know,
totally.
Oh, then and now.
Yeah.
So what were some of the specific ways that Paul addressed this in his letters?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
He urged Timothy to watch out for those who promoted godless chatter.
Godless chatter.
Yeah, engaging in like empty philosophies and worldly pursuits that kind of drew people away from the faith. He emphasizes that true wealth lies in investing in what God values,
whoa,
not just accumulating earthly riches,
okay,
but to really like grasp the depth of Paul's message.
Yeah.
I think we need to dig a little deeper into his specific instructions to Timothy,
yeah,
on how to navigate these challenges.
All right. Well, that sounds like the perfect segue,
yeah,
into the next part of our deep dive. I can't wait to hear more about those instructions and how they apply to us today.
Yeah. This is going to be good. Yeah, so Paul is essentially giving Timothy this crash course in pastoral leadership.
Oh, wow.
He knows that Timothy is like relatively young,
yeah,
and facing these significant obstacles.
Uh-huh.
And these letters provide super valuable guidance for, you know, navigating those challenges,
yeah,
and like remaining true to the core mission of the church.
Okay, so it's like a leadership manual for dealing with difficult people.
Totally.
And staying focused on what truly matters.
Exactly.
What were some of the specific challenges that Timothy was up against that might, you know, resonate with modern day leaders?
Yeah, well, remember, like, Timothy was leading the church in Ephesus.
Right.
This bustling commercial center, right?
Yeah.
Teeming with, like, temptations everywhere.
Right.
It would have been so easy to get swept up,
right,
in materialism.
Of course.
And social climbing in an environment like that.
I can only imagine.
Right.
Yeah, like, the allure of wealth and status,
mm-hmm,
could pose a real threat to the church's integrity.
Exactly. Paul totally understood that, right?
Yeah.
That's why he stressed the importance of sound teaching,
important,
holding fast to the truth even when it's unpopular.
Right.
And like prioritizing godliness and contentment over the pursuit of wealth and status.
So resisting the pull of the shiny things and, mm-hmm, staying grounded,
yes,
in what truly matters.
Totally. Like Paul uses that vivid image of godless chatter.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To describe the empty philosophies and worldly pursuits,
right,
that could pull people away from the faith. He's urging Timothy and us to be vigilant.
Wow,
know,
fearful.
Guarding our hearts and minds against those distractions.
Yeah, it's like that saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Yes,
right.
Totally.
If we're constantly filling ourselves with junk,
yeah,
it's going to affect how we act,
right,
and how we relate to God.
That's a perfect analogy.
I try.
Yeah, we need to be discerning about what we allow into our minds and hearts.
Absolutely.
Paul isn't just like warning against blatant heresy.
Right.
He's also warning against those subtle ways that the world can chip away at our faith.
Oh, yeah.
Causing us to drift from what's truly important.
It's like a slow fade that can happen without us even realizing it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's where Paul's advice to Timothy becomes so practical.
Okay.
He tells him, like, to flee from the things,
yeah,
that will entangle him.
Okay.
And to pursue righteousness,
yeah,
and godliness with everything he's got.
Wow. Intense.
Yeah. He emphasizes that the Christian life is a battle. Okay.
But a battle worth fighting.
And I imagine he's not just talking about fighting, like, external enemies.
Right.
But also the yeah, internal struggles and temptations we all face.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Paul acknowledges that Timothy, like all of us, will face challenges,
yeah,
and temptations.
Right.
But he also assures him that God will equip him for that battle.
Okay. So it's not about being perfect or never messing up.
Right.
It's about relying on God's grace.
Yes.
And
staying
focused on the mission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where Paul's emphasis on doxology comes in.
Doxology, that's like praise and worship, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He consistently points Timothy back to the greatness and goodness of God.
Okay. Because when we fix our eyes on God,
yes,
everything else pales in comparison.
Exactly. When we're overwhelmed by our circumstances, you know,
yeah,
or tempted to lose heart,
right,
remembering who God is,
right,
and what he's done for us.
Right.
It can completely shift our perspective.
Yeah.
It reminds us what really matters.
Right.
And it gives us that strength to persevere.
So it's like a spiritual reset button, almost.
I love that. That's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
Paul's showing Timothy,
yeah,
and us,
right,
that our hope and strength isn't in ourselves,
okay,
but in God.
Yeah.
And when we ground ourselves,
yeah,
in his truth and grace,
yeah,
we can face any challenge,
right,
that comes our way.
It feels like Paul's wisdom, it transcends time,
uh-huh,
you know?
It, yeah,
speaks to the human condition across generations.
Amazing.
Yeah, his words offer hope and guidance for anyone,
mm-hmm,
seeking to live a life of purpose and integrity.
Absolutely. That's the power of scripture.
Yeah.
You know, it speaks to us across centuries and cultures.
Right.
Offering wisdom
yeah.
and guidance
yeah.
for every season of life.
This conversation has really made me think about like the godless chatter
mm-hmm.
in my own life.
Yeah.
What am I allowing to distract me from what truly matters?
Right. What am I investing my time, energy, and resources in?
Those are excellent questions. And those are the questions
yeah.
that Paul is prompting us to consider.
Oh.
But there's one more crucial element I think we need to examine here.
Okay.
Paul's specific instructions to those who are wealthy.
Right, because he doesn't just tell Timothy to be wary of the rich and powerful, right?
Right.
He also has something to say directly to them.
Exactly. It's tricky, right? Because we've talked about how Roman slavery was so different.
Right, totally different.
From what we think of, you know, with the American South.
Right.
But it's still slavery.
Yeah, how does Paul,
yeah.
like, inspired by God, how does he even approach this?
That's the question.
Yeah.
I think it's important to approach this section with a lot of humility.
Okay.
Recognizing, like, the complexities of the historical and cultural context.
Of course.
You know, Paul, writing to Timothy, isn't, like, issuing a universal decree about slavery.
Right.
He's giving, like, pastoral guidance
okay.
within a very specific situation.
Yeah.
Remember, the early church existed within the Roman Empire.
Right. They couldn't just, like, escape it.
Exactly. Paul couldn't, like, single-handedly overturn the entire social order.
Right. So it's more about working for change from within the system.
Yes.
Kind of like what we were talking about with wealth and power in the church.
That's such a good connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul's approach to slavery is really consistent
okay.
with his overall strategy, which
yeah.
is guide believers to live out the gospel wherever they are.
Wherever they are.
Yeah. And his instructions, while they accept the reality of slavery at that time,
okay.
they actually plant these seeds
oh, wow.
for its eventual dismantling.
Okay. So could you elaborate on that?
Yeah.
How do his instructions actually challenge slavery?
Think about what Paul emphasizes.
Okay.
He tells masters to treat their slaves with kindness and fairness.
Right.
Acknowledging their shared humanity
yeah.
as fellow believers.
Right.
And this really undermines the very foundation of slavery.
Which relies on dehumanizing the enslaved.
That's a really subtle but powerful point.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
By emphasizing the inherent worth and dignity of all people, no matter their social status, Paul's chipping away at the ideology of slavery.
Wow.
And he goes even further. He tells slaves
yeah.
to serve their masters with sincerity and respect as unto the Lord.
Wow.
So that doesn't mean endorsing the system.
Right.
It means like reframing the very nature of service.
Nice.
So slaves are now serving
yeah.
not just an earthly master,
right.
but ultimately Christ.
So he's like elevating their work,
yeah.
giving it a higher purpose and meaning.
Totally.
That must have had a profound impact on how both slaves and masters saw their roles.
Absolutely. It's such a subversive approach, you know, like planting these seeds of transformation within a very flawed system.
Wow, he's sneaky.
I know. By emphasizing the spiritual equality of slaves and masters,
yeah.
Paul is laying the groundwork
uh-huh.
for this radical shift.
Okay, in how people understand power and human relationships.
It's amazing how Paul can address these, like, super complex issues
yeah.
with such wisdom and nuance.
I know, it's incredible.
Like, he's not just giving these simplistic answers or
right.
blanket pronouncements.
He's really thinking through these issues
yeah.
in a careful way.
He's offering guidance
yeah.
that acknowledges the messy realities of life.
Uh-huh.
But always points us back
yeah.
to the higher ideals
yes.
of the gospel.
He gets it.
That's the mark of a truly great leader.
Totally.
Meeting people where they are,
yeah.
speaking to their specific circumstances,
uh-huh.
but always guiding them
right.
towards a deeper understanding of what it means to live as followers of Christ.
That's it.
Well, this deep dive has really challenged my own assumptions.
It's so good to wrestle with these things.
It is. It's helped me see these familiar passages
yeah.
in a whole new light.
Me too.
So to recap for our listeners,
we started by unpacking the surprising realities of Roman slavery.
It's mine.
I know. Yeah. A system that was so different from what we typically imagine.
Totally.
We then explored how Paul, writing to Timothy, this young pastor,
yeah.
facing all these challenges in the early church.
It was a tough job.
I know. Offered guidance on navigating those issues with wisdom and integrity.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He did. And we saw how Paul addressed the temptations of wealth and power, urging believers to find true wealth in what God values.
Such an important message.
And finally, we wrestled with this complex issue of slavery, understanding how Paul offered guidance within that specific historical and cultural context, but at the same time subtly challenging those foundations of the system itself.
He was so smart.
Yeah.
It's been such a rich and insightful discussion.
It really has.
And I think it leaves us with some like crucial questions.
Yeah, what are those?
Like, how are we challenged to live out the gospel in our own complex and often messy world? What godless chatter are we tempted to embrace?
Ooh, good question.
Are we investing our time, energy, and resources in what really matters to God?
That's what I want to know.
Right. These are questions that are so worth wrestling with.
They are.
As we try to follow Christ in our own time and place.
Well said. This has been an incredible deep dive.
I loved it.
Me too. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to you, our listener, for requesting this amazing topic.
Yeah, this is a good one.
It was. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into something thought-provoking.
Can't wait.
Until then, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deeper into the truth that matters most.